And that we always want to look for a halachic topic related to the parsha. And as we get to Parshas Vayetze, so what are we thinking about this week? We're thinking about Gidon Asher, excellent. Rabbi Weinshav also. Oh, so I quoted you earlier this week, Gaby. You always have good ideas. What? So Gidon Asher, Adam points out, it might technically be next week's Parsha, but you know, the lines are blurred. The lines are, you know, Vayishlach, Vayetze, potato, patata. It's the same story. But I like that idea, Amy. Yaakov versus Lavan really represents the concept of being a truthful person as opposed to being a deceitful, deceptive person. And this evening, I want to speak about the Isser known as Genevas Da'as. Genevas Da'as, with your permission. And we know that there is not only a prohibition to steal money, there is a common concept of stealing one's knowledge. All right, now again, there's a lot to say on this topic, especially nowadays there's a whole industry of intellectual property, which we're not going to get into, but just a few classical sources on the concept of Genevas Da'as, and we'll start with, you know, Rashi on the Parsha, just, you know, the most classical story starting from the Parsha, and then, branching out into the more classical Sugya, Makoros on the Sugya of Genevas Da'as, and Shas, and Shulchan Aruch, or two from Rav Moshe Feinstein and the like. So if we look at the character of Yaakov Avinu, we actually see, believe it or not, a little bit of a progression. What do I mean by that? That last week, the Torah describes Yaakov Avinu in contrast to Esav HaRasha, as Esav was known as the Yodei Tzayid, he was a hunter, he knew how to trap animals, Ish Sadeh, man of the field. In contrast, V'Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim, famous, this is last week's Parsha. So what does it mean that Yaakov is an ish tam? Like tam is a language of being complete, of being a certain, I don't know what we call tamimuyus tamim. What does that mean to be complete, to be full? So Rashi beautifully describes that Yaakov's eino baki b'chol eila. Whereas Esav, Rashi had just previously explained, knew how to trick Yitzhak into thinking that he was a Rasha. Yaakov was not good at being deceptive. He did not have that, you know, quote unquote, I'll use this word, even though it's not inherently a bad term, but I'll use it in a condescending tone, street smart. Meaning, Esav will say was street smart in the negative sense. He knew how to play people. He knew how to trick them. And Yaakov was not into that because Kalibo Kain Piv, Yaakov's mouth, was in line with his heart. Misha Eno Charif L'Ramos Karui Tam. And because Yaakov was a sincere person who was not even capable, seemingly, of being deceiving, of being deceptive, so that's why the Torah ascribes this most, you know, austere compliment to his character, that he was an ish tam, because he was so sincere, he was such an authentic person, that he didn't even have the capability of tricking Yitzchak, you know, which is why last week at the end of the parsha we had to trick Yitzchak into giving him the brachos, was such a hard nisayon for him, you know, that was not his nature. And yet, all of a sudden, on this week's parsha, we find a different side to Yaakov Avinu. What happens when he meets Rachel? Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel vayisayas kolo vayev. So there's a deep interaction where they cry upon one another. Vayaged Yaakov l'Rachel. What does Yaakov tell Rachel? Ki achi avia hu. Literally, I am what? I'm the brother of your father. So your father, Rachel, is Lavan. And I come from that family, seemingly. Why? And again, the Torah explains, V'chi ben Rivkahu, and then V'tar Zaytegi L'Avia. So now, what in the world does that mean, that Yaakov Avinu was the brother of Lavan? That's not true. But Rashi says, no, Karov Lavi, he was a relative. Right? When the word Achi, brother, means a relative. But now, here is the Midrashic Pshat. What does it mean when Yaakov says that I'm related to your father? What does it mean, I'm related to your father, Lavan HaRasha? Here it is, Midrasho. Im l'ramos huba, if Lavan's going to try to be a tricky individual, someone who wants to deceive me, ani achiv, I'm his brother. Meaning, I will respond in like. If he wants to be deceptive to me, oh baby, I'm going to play back. If he wants to play hardball, I'll play hardball. V'im adam kosher, however, if Lavan wants to be a good boy with me, gam ani ben rifka achoto, then I'll act like the son of Rivka, who is a good Jewish boy. Where all of a sudden you have this concept of Yaakov Avinu you know, having a new hat where he's willing to play ball, so to speak. Almost as if he's, you know, he's willing to go to the streets, you know, where he was like this like clean private school kid growing up, and now you get the vibe that he's like playing street ball all of a sudden, and he's ready to play with the guy, the chever on the street, you know, which is not necessarily easy chever to play with. So Yaakov Avinu seemingly has developed this skill of how to at least work with dishonest people. Now, ironically, where does the concept of Genevas Das actually come up in the Parsha, like black on white, where ironically Lavan accuses Yaakov of stealing, right? What happens when Yaakov leaves with his own wives and children? So Lavan races to catch up with him. Vayomer Lavan Yaakov, Ma'asisa, Vati Gnoves Levavi. What are you doing? You stole my heart. What does it mean you stole my heart? In addition to stealing my children and my daughters, and you know, and like as if they're captives. So Rashi, here it is. He drops the term. You stole my da'as. You stole my da'as. So Lavan accuses Yaakov of tricking him. Right? How ironic, right? Whereas we know where then Yaakov lashes out against him and says, what do you mean? You changed my wages a million times over. And, you know, you gave me horrible working conditions. Let's be real here, Lavan. And Yaakov, you know, what? What was that? Someone had a comment there. That, so Yaakov, oh, am I frozen? Uh-oh. That's not good. Okay, I think that's what they said. Adam, at least it's still me and you. All right, we'll wait for the show. All right, am I back? Everyone hear me? Okay, looks like we're back. Okay, I froze a little bit there. Okay, Peter, I'm good? Yeah, Stuart, you hear me? Stuart, you hear me or no? All right. Adam, we're going to take a little commercial break in hope of the Wi-Fi kicking in. We've never had this problem before. So hopefully, here we go. Zoom starting up again. All right, just a minute commercial. It's okay. All right. Okay, everyone, we're back. We're back live from Shomrei Torah. Okay. It's happened to me a few times in Zoom and in TABC. You know, there's so much Wi-Fi going around right now. All right, I hope everyone's okay. So all I said was that Lavan accused Yaakov, right, of being gonev his das. And that was where the official term was dropped. And Rashi, was that clear? All right, Stuart, I got up to that before I was frozen. Okay. All right, so now, if we were to stop here, could someone give me an example of how to violate this law? And what's the nature of this law? Because would you put it as one of the 613 mitzvahs? Is it d'oraisa? Is it d'rabbanan? And what does it sound a lot like? Meaning, is it not already included in another isser in the Torah? What are we thinking? Or what would be? Who could tell me an example? Or what is already included in what other category? What other isser? What are we thinking? Very good. So very good. So we know that. So Stuart points out there's an isser of lifnei iver, and one of the examples by Chazan lifnei iver is not to take advantage of an uninformed consumer. If I tell you, oh, you should buy this field, you know, and in reality, it's not a good purchase. So that's an isser of lifnei iver, bad advice. Excellent. So maybe you could say that what we're talking about is really already a subset of lifnei iver. Good. Yeah. Rabbi Weintraub, you wanted to add? No. Okay. So I would have thought that it's midvar sheker tirchak, right? Meaning you're just lying, right? Meaning, and the Torah specifically says not only not lie, but midvar sheker tirchak. You should be rachok. You should be particularly distant from, you know, not telling the truth. Now, would anyone argue that this is considered real geneva? I mean, the term is genevas da'as. Is it financial theft? If I were to trick you into doing something, is that considered stealing your money? Could it lead to stealing your money? What would be an example, right? Or, you know, so Carol is a real estate agent. She's trying to, you know, turn off her screen all of a sudden. She's like, uh-oh, they catch me. But here's what I'm told, Carol. Now, those people who say that houses are great, you know, obviously they want me to buy. And what if they say, oh, if you don't put an offer down now, someone else is going to get it. You know, what if that's actually true? You know, and Carol's still smiling, Baruch Hashem. Now, obviously, Carol Weissman would not do anything. You know, that's it. Ah, very good, very good. Oh wow, on top. Didn't you just sell that house like last year on Moreland? Isn't that very recent? Oh, I'm right. This is not. This is going. I sort of retired. Okay, all right. Well, wow. Okay, man, what a testimony. Hey, this now. I'm not from a wine show about Mrs. Weissman. Okay. Kol hakavod, Carol. What a beautiful. And that was not even staged. Amazing. Okay. So let's imagine that I want to, but it happens all the time with me. I not only do I teach in TABC, I am involved in recruitment. So just today, for example, I hosted boys from Ashar, eighth graders from Muncie. And obviously, when people ask you about TABC, you're going to make it sound like it's the best school in the world, right? Now, we don't lie, obviously. At the same time, when you're trying to sell a school, so you're going to emphasize certain things and you're not going to emphasize other things, right? So is that mutter? Obviously no school is perfect, right? So when we don't say, every school sounds identical at every open house, right? Because they just tell you about all their good kids, right? So is that, it's a little bit funny, right? Is withholding information, gnevis das? Now, again, I only have wonderful things to say about TABC, honestly. But obviously, if you're in the field of marketing or business, this gets pretty tricky pretty quickly. So let's look at some examples in the Gemara to give us a more informed, language for this sir, and then we'll try to come out with some lumdus and some practical halacha as well. So the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, number one, says that there are three people that Hashem hates. Okay, now let's see if a real estate agent it falls under one of these three categories. The first one is Hamedaber Echa Bapeh. The echad b'lev. So someone who says one thing in their mouth but is thinking another thing in their heart, right? So that would be a sleazy car salesman, right? The classic stereotypical car salesman who wants to tell you everything great about the car, has the slick, the hair gel, and obviously is lying through his teeth. Now, when I say wonderful things about TABC, I don't feel like that. I feel like I'm being genuine. And people, by the way, pick up on that pretty easily. If you're being genuine or not, it's actually, ironically, a much better recruitment tactic to be honest. People, I think, generally have found me when I'm more transparent to open up to me. And then they start talking, because of what, as if their kid's perfect. And they start telling me about all the problems they have with their kid. And it works out very nicely. And I was, oh, we have just a program for your kid, whatever. So obviously, Hashem knows what he's doing. The more honest you'll only win. But it's interesting to note that this Gemara says that Hashem specifically hates someone who is dishonest, i.e., that contrast between Lavan versus Yaakov. Now, here is where the Gemara really comes in. It's a little bit of a funny trivia question. Where does the Shas discuss the sugya of Gnevas Das? It's a Maseches Chulin Tzadi Dalet. It's a good trivia question, right? And ironically, the Gemara here is talking about Gittah Nashim, and then in parentheses, but not literal, in parenthetically, the Gemara then discusses Gnevas Das. Here it is. Amar Shmuel, Asur lignov da'as abrios. It is absolutely forbidden to literally steal the mind of individuals, to trick them. Va'afdilu da'ito shel obid kochavim, and even non-Jews, right? Now, the Gemara points out what Shmuel said is not actually said by Shmuel, but it was inferred by a story that happened with Shmuel. The Shmuel haveka avar mibab, right? Shmuel was crossing a river, and Amar le l'shameh, he told his attendant, why don't you pay the man who crossed, who got us across the river? I guess the ferry, captain, whatever. So the man paid the boat driver, the captain, and Shmuel actually got very upset. My time ikbid. Why did he get upset? Amar Abaye, this machlokas. Tarnagolis trefahave v'yave nihale b'mar. So you gave him a chicken. You paid him a chicken. That was the wages you paid this man. And he thought, because you were a Jew, that it was a kosher chicken. But you really gave him a treif chicken. And that was not right. You tricked him because you paid him wages that was deceiving. Because you're a Jew. He thinks that your chicken was kosher and it's not really kosher. And Rabbi has a similar idea where you gave him wine, but it was really diluted. It was anfaka amar leil ashkui. You thought he was giving him straight up wine. V'ashkei tamra b'mizika. But you paid him with diluted wine. So that's the first example in the Gemara. And this will be quoted la halacha of Gnevas Das. So what's bad about that, by the way? What did he do that was so wrong? All he did was seemingly give him something, what, that was less valuable? So again, diluted wine, I guess you could argue, is less valuable. But perhaps this, at least at this point of the Gemara, it sounds like it's it's an issur of sheker, no? Meaning all you did was something that was dishonest, right? So it sounds to me like the main prohibition is that you just weren't absolutely honest. Ironically, there's actually 1 second to it because Adam's live. He's talking also. Adam, what are you saying? Oh, very good. Adam points out that it's not fair because he never told him that it was specifically a kosher chicken. But the response that the assumption is that any Jew who has a chicken, it should be a kosher chicken. Like why would a Jew have a non-kosher chicken? That's the assumption. That's the assumption of the Gemara. So. Wait, wait, 1 second, Stuart. One second, Stuart. Hold on. I'll tell you when Adam's finished. I know it's a little bit confusing. Yeah. 1 second, Adam.
You know, I gave you this bottle, and you think it's one, but it may not be.
Right. Very good. Yeah. So, Stuart, you think it's more monetary as opposed to lying. Why? Very good. So it's a real monetary issue that I gave you something that was less valuable. Good. So maybe then you could argue based on this, Gemara, that it's really more of a monetary issue. More of a monetary issue? Adam, you'd agree with Stuart on that? That maybe it's more of a financial issue than a lying.
No.
Why, Adam? What do you think?
Because I don't know if the ferry is across the river.
Adam's pointing out that, what do you mean? How much does it cost to pay the ferry driver?
If the guy says it's got to be a kosher chicken, then...
Right, very good. So Adam's saying very good. Adam over here, Dr. Karp, a highly religious man, is saying that you didn't rip a guy off, right? Meaning if you paid the fee, you paid the fee. So it's not about money, because you didn't, pay him less than he owed him. He didn't steal. It was just not what he thought he was getting. That's a fascinating idea. But then Stuart says, yeah, but he still got less money than he thought he was getting. We don't know what the fare was, says Stuart. Very good. But he certainly was not paying him less than that. Right. But I don't think that's a plausible option because it's very hard to say that this is real. Because, the Gemara does not imply that there was real monetary. I think that would be too bold. The Gemara just says that, Shmuel got upset. It wasn't like, if you, what you were saying was pshat, he would have a chiv to pay him back. Right? That would be a real geneva. So I hear what you're saying. But you're still right that there is a monetary difference. But you're also making sense that there is a real... meaning, hypothetically, if we came up with a case that had no monetary difference, maybe it wouldn't be a violation. All right, now, it happens to be that there are more examples, so we'll see more examples that will help us have a good sense of what we're talking about. Ah. Very good. So Robert points out that Zoom is lifnei iver for Gnevas Das, right? Because anyone on Zoom who is getting paid to be on Zoom because they're supposedly, doing their job, but their screen happens to be off, and there also happens to be a mincha minion, at that time, and they're getting paid by the hour. So that would be a pretty shitty thing. There's no question about that. So Robert points out that Zoom etiquette and Gnevas Das might have a lot in common. Fair point, Robert. But that's why we appreciate all of you whose screen is on. All the more so Dr. Karp, who's actually in front of me. Okay, so he's really here. All right, so let's see another example. There's another amazing example here. This is a famous one. Tanya, how you're Mayor Omer. Al Yisari of Adam Lachaver Lis Od Eslo. A person should not really invite someone, press. Let's say I really urge the Weissmans to come to me for a meal. But I know that they're not available that Shabbos, so it's really a fake. I know that Peter's going to his kids for Shabbos, so I know that, and I fake him out, and I say, Peter, please, you got to come to me, and this is the only Shabbos you can come to me. And I know I'm trying to come off like a nice person, but I know that he's not home for that Shabbos. So that's Gnevas Das. Why? Because I'm giving you the impression that I want to invite you, but I know that you can't say yes. Similarly, v'lo yarbala b'takroves, I can't offer you a lot of presents. I know you're not going to receive them. Let's say I know you're allergic to chocolate or something. And I say, take chocolate, Hanukkah gelt. And I know you're going to say no. So I'm lying, right? Meaning I know you're going to say no. So that's Gnevas Das. Now you think I'm such a great guy. But the only reason I offered it to you, and they're very similar examples. Then the Gemara goes on. But there is the Gemara comes up with a heter. Here's a key heter. The im bishvil kvodo mutter. But if it's just for kavod, it's permissible. We have to see what in the world that means. But hypothetically, if I invited Dr. Karp for a Shabbos meal, and I didn't really mean it, but by inviting him, albeit not an authentic invitation, but it was out of kavod, that would seemingly not be a violation of Geneva's Das, and we have to figure out what in the world that means. And there's a Gemara that says, the Gemara inside the Dalai Lama Beis here on the bottom, it says that Marzutra, the son of Rav Nachman, was going from a town called Sichra. And it happens to be that Rava and Rav Safa were on their way to Sichra. And what happened? Marzutra got the wrong impression. Marzutra bumped into these two great rabbis and he said, "Oh my gosh, it's so nice of you that you came to greet me." They weren't going to greet him. They just happened to bump into him on their travels. And they even told him that. Amar Lahu, well, and he said, "It was so nice of you to go out of your way." And Rav Safra said, actually, that's not what we were doing at all. Rav Safra was a little bit blunt and said, we were kind of just walking and bumped into you. And Rav said to him, why'd you say that? Why'd you tell him the truth? You know, here he was so flattered that he thought we were going to greet him. Just kind of go with it. But Rav Safra said, that's dishonest. So is there a concept of being too honest? And the answer is yes. Why? Ihu ha dekat mate nafshe. What a line of shas. Meaning Marzutra made his own mistake. We never told Marzutra what we did. He made a mistake. So let him make the mistake. We're not lying. We're just letting them make the mistake. Now hold on. So Kaura Weissman says, okay, real estate just got a lot easier. I never told them the oven doesn't work. I never told them that, right? They think the oven works. Okay, so if the oven doesn't work, that's their issue. Now, it is true, when you do a walkthrough in a house, you have to make sure the appliances work. So Carol says, okay, it's their responsibility to do a walkthrough. So when they do the walkthrough, they'll do the walkthrough. I don't have to tell them anything about the secret ghosts hiding in the closet. And again, that's the fine line here. That if someone is kind of messing himself over by being a little bit overly naive or optimistic, maybe you can argue that you don't have to be overly honest. I want to just point out a little bit of lumdus between where I think you can say there's a machlokes in the Rambam and the Ritva. The Rambam gives all of the examples of the Gemara in his Hilchos Deos. Hilchos Deos is more reserved for what we call about midos, about how to act properly. And he writes, it's usher to what, lahanik atzma bedivrei chilkos upito. I mean, you can't be a deceptive person. Right? You can't act one way in your mouth and a different way internally. It's a beautiful idea, right? That you should be transparent. You should be an authentic person. You know, and not like Yaakov Avinu. And there's where he says black on white. So if you're asking me, the Rambam is telling us something that has to do with your midos. It's nice. It has to do with maybe imitating Hashem. We know there's a mitzvah of halach, the bidrachav. Maybe you could argue it's included in something either a banan, but it's not, you know, rooted in an isser that we would call gizela or anything like that. It's more, it's an ilchas deos. It's again, derech eretz kadma l'torah, it's just as important. But you can't necessarily pin anyone down on like a formal isser midoraisa perhaps. And he ends, afilu mila acha shal pitu b'shal geneva's das aser. It's an unbelievable line. That even one word of deception is forbidden. And you should be an honest person. You should be chillingly honest, meaning overly honest. And then we have to figure out that heter. But the Ritva disagrees. The Ritva at least quotes from the Tosfos that there's an Isser Midoraisa learned out from the pasuk of Lo Tignovu Velo Techachashu. Unbelievable. That included in the Isser of Geneva is Geneva's Das, and he quotes the Tosefta. The Tosefta in Baba Kama says, there are three Ganavim Haim, and the Gadol Shebechulam is Gonev Das Abrios. Now again, I don't know if it's the same, at least the Tosefta we have, and I don't know if it's the same, I think it looks like it's the same Tosefta, says that there are seven levels of Geneva, and the first one listed there is Geneva's Das. I.e. the Tosefta seems to equate Geneva's Das with Geneva's Mammon. So if you're asking me, the Ritva is categorizing Geneva's Das in a much more formal severe category included, you know, under the broader category of Gneva, which is a pretty amazing idea, which means it's a form of midoraisa, not midorabanan, and it's equivalent to theft. And the Shulchan Aruch, where does he bring this din? Choshen mishpat hilchos ona'a. So the Shulchan Aruch has a flavor of the Ritva, because when the Shulchan Aruch speaks about the Isser of ripping people off financially, or again, on the sleazy car salesman, and then he says, kach ona'a bedvarim, right? You're not allowed to be overly harsh with your words. By the way, there's a black and white sif in Shulchan Aruch that a man should not be overly harsh verbally with his wife. Unbelievable black on white sif and Shulchan Aruch. I love that sif and Shulchan Aruch. It's like Shalom Bayis in the Shulchan Aruch. I love that. Totally parenthetical. That's not in the Shulchan Aruch for good reason. The Shulchan Aruch was a smart man, Abe. That's a good question. But the Shulchan Aruch, you know, Abe, that's a very sharp question. 2 points on the next test for Rabbi Weinshaw. That's a very sharp question. All right, V'gdola onaz devar. Quickly moving along. V'gdola onaz devar me'onaz. I'm going to get a famous idea. But then in Sif Vav, now the Shulchan Aruch, he starts talking about onas, what we're talking about this evening, namely Gneves Das. Gneves Das. And all the examples that we said in the Gemara, you know, don't invite somebody if you don't really mean it. Don't offer a present if you don't really mean it. But here is the question. You ready? Here's the heter. Here's the heter. So heter number one is if the guy makes his own mistake, like Mar Zutra in the Gemara, that's not your problem, right? If the guy is just mistaken, I remember Rav Ari Leibowitz, I think in a 10-minute halacha, said an example. Let's say someone named their son Mordechai because the boy was born on Purim. And then they got a big donation from a relative because the relative thought that they named the kid Mordechai after some like relative, whatever that, like they never heard of before, right? And the question was, are they allowed to keep the money? So I think I forget the details, but I think the answer was yes, because the person made his own mistake, meaning it was Purim. Everyone names the kid Mordechai who was born on Purim. So this old person thought they named it after, you know, this deceased Mordechai. That's their own issue. That's their own mistake. So that's black and white in the Shulchan Aruch. Very good. Yeah, that's a good, I hear that, but the kavod is a little less broad than what you're saying. I think it's more this heter, but I hear what you're saying, Peter. But here's where the sma, you know, the prisha, the Torah's chayim in the achron world, the achron pick up on this word. Lo yisarhev, I can't beg you. So let's say I don't really want you to come for a meal. I don't really want you to come for a Shabbos meal. So I invite you again and again, knowing that you can't come. That's usur. And velo yarbe lo bitterkovers. Let's say I know that Alvin is allergic to peanuts. And I say, Alvin, you got to try my peanuts. They're so good. What does it mean, yarbe? Why does Shulchan Aruch add these words, lo yasarhev, like to like aggressively invite or not to go overboard with the presence? The sma says, you know what that means? That dafka biki hai gavna, only when you really push the person, it's usur. Aval daber lo pam achas v'shtayim. Bo acholini mutar, holy smokes. Meaning, if I don't really mean it, but I just say, Adam, you should really come to me for a meal. If I just say that once or twice, that's fine. You know why? Because that's called human interaction. Wow. Now, Peter, that's what you were saying, because that's called kavod. Meaning, normal people speak in a certain way. You know, sometimes I see people meet for the first time, especially, let's say, women. They'll meet and they'll say, oh, we should do lunch sometime. Now, they don't really mean that. We should do lunch sometime. I've seen this so many times. What they really mean is, I like you. Like, I wouldn't mind bumping into you again. But there's no chance that they're ever going to go to lunch together, right? I remember every time I see this, I'm like, why did you just say that? Like, I don't say this with my mouth, but I'm like, I don't understand this phrase. Oh, we should do lunch. What do you mean, we should do lunch? Well, i.e., there's a thing called, you know, Lashon, language of people, and it's the way they speak. You know, we should schmooze sometime. Now, these two people are never going to see each other again. Oh, very good. We should do coffee. Now, Carol, if it's just a nice way of speaking, even if you don't mean it, it's still mutter. That's the chiddush. If it's just a nice way of speaking and you just say it once or twice, that's not Gneves Das. We should go for coffee sometimes. What you're really saying is, I like you. I enjoy your company. And, you know, we should be friendly. That's what we understand in 2020 contemporary English. But what's usser is for me to pretend that I'm really inviting you to my Purim Su'udah when I know that you already have plans. And I say, please come. And I know that you can't say, that's usher. But it's a big heter there to kind of allow the social norms to happen, even though they're less than honest, you know, if you're taken literally. So to say we should do coffee when it's not literal is mutter. So to me, that was a little bit of a chiddush, at least. Because when we're speaking like tochel kabari, you should be utterly honest. You know, the Rambam said not even one word of dishonesty. Apparently, that's not Allah halacha. Allah halacha included in honesty is speaking normally. Fascinating idea. And I just want to conclude with a famous tshuva of Rav Moshe, where he was asked about cheating. And, Rav Moshe was asked about people who had answers, I think, to the regents. He writes about people, yeshiva bachim, cheating on the regents. And he says that not only is it gnevas das, it's gnevas mammon, because you could get a job because of that, because people are going to see your scores, and they're going to give you a job. He says, ve'ein zarah gnevas das, shegam ken asur, kud amr shvi, quotes our gemaras. But he says it's also gnevas, it's real gneva. But I want to end with divrei hashkafa, because my Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, always quotes this from Moshe. He says that, listen, if you go to college, if you go to high school, and you're not in yeshiva, you shouldn't pretend that, like, you know, it's not important to take your secular studies seriously. It's not, oh, Rebbe, I should be able to cheat because it's bittul Torah for me to study. I have to spend so many hours studying. That's not bittul Torah. You're just trying to be lazy. And guess what? If you're lazy when it comes to studying for your tests, you're going to get lazier and lazier and lazier at other things as well. And my Rebbe, Rabbi Kamenetsky, always quotes this tshuva of Ramosha as saying, whatever you do in life, you should do well. So don't cheat people. Just don't, you shouldn't be a cheater. And on a broader hashkafic level, you can either live your life as a Yaakov Avinu or as a Lavan Harasha. Are you honest or are you not? Granted, there are heterim, if people make their mistakes, you don't have to necessarily be so honest with them. If people, you know, are just saying things that are nice, and it's just a nice thing to say, oh, we should do a Shabbos meal sometimes, because it's just a nice thing to say, even if you don't really mean it, that's okay to say once or twice. That's fine. Because you're still choosing to live life honestly as a member of the community. And we should all be zocha to kind of have that seichel of how to live life. Like Yaakov Avinu, Tochel Kabaro, granted there are heterim, but I think the idea is clear. Maybe a little bit of a lumdus there between the Ritzvah and the Rambam. Is it informal Geneva? Is it more of a Midos Ra, like a Sheker issue? But that's a little bit of an overview of a Midavar Sheker Tirchak. And at this point, I'm going to end the recording, take all comments and questions. If anyone's listening on why Torah Makoro should be posted on the website, not on the app. All the best.